turn now to the book of Galatians, the fourth chapter. In your Scofield Reference Bible, that's page 1246. We're reading verses 12 through 16. Galatians chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, page 1246. We'll read these verses responsibly, taking note of the text verse, verse 16. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. My temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear ye record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. And let's read together the text verse. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Let's pray. Father, there is multiplied joy here. A lot of folks enjoy coming to the services. It's their Mecca. It's what they live for throughout the week. To be here with God's people, to meet here with Christian friends, brothers and sisters, and to hear the preaching, the faithful preaching of the man of God. Meet with us in power, bless, we pray, the service, the message. Help us to listen, please, on purpose, in Jesus' name, amen.
Well, the music has been good this morning, thank you very much. Now, this morning, you must listen carefully. Would you might pick up that thing out of the aisle there? Somebody's going to slip on that walking down the aisle after a while. There's a bulletin there in the aisle. And you must listen carefully. Before I bring the message, I want to say that I do not know of a single enemy I have in this room. I've said this across the country. I may be wrong. I don't know. But those of you that heard me preach across the country heard me say this. I believe this morning if we had a secret ballot as to whether I stayed or left this church, I'd be shocked if there was a vote against me. I really would. The reason for that is that I'm so wonderful. My thanks to all three of you who said amen. And I really believe that. I do not know of a single enemy I have, so I'm going to make some this morning. I'm tired of not having any enemies. I never have wanted you to hear a sermon any more than this one. I'm speaking this morning to our people, and I really want you to hear me. Take your Bibles, please, and look to Galatians again, chapter number 4. I want just to read a portion of this and explain it to you, and then I'll bring the message. Chapter 4 of Galatians and verse 12. Paul had been to Galatia, and they had accepted him wonderfully. In fact, he says later on that they would have plucked out their eyes for him. That's how much they appeared to love him. Now, Paul had come back and had found a trend in the Galatian people, and Paul had preached against that trend. And then some of the folks got mad at him and became his enemy. So look at verse number 12. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Now look at me. Paul said that you're mad at me, but you've not injured me. I'm not mad at you. That's what he's saying. I want you to know that though you feel negatively toward me, I have no negative feeling toward you. Look down in verse number 15. Where is then that blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Now get this. Am I therefore become your enemy? Paul said there was a day when I believe you'd just plucked out your eyes for me. Now you said, am I your enemy? Look at it. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Put your pens down, please. Our folks know better than that. Listen to me now. I want to speak this morning on the subject, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I want every single child to put down your little papers, and I want you to listen to me. I want every teenager to forget your talking and whispering. I don't care where you are. I want you to listen to what I'm going to say this morning carefully. We have no problems in the church. I don't know of a single enemy in the church. But I want to talk to you seriously this morning. Father, bless me as I speak, and our people as they hear, and those who eavesdrop upon the conversation I have with my people. May they be blessed today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want the person that's hollering amen over here out of order to quit that. I don't mind you saying amen, but I don't want you doing it out of order. By the way, some of you folks need to start doing it in order, too, by the way. I wasn't talking to Sergeant Blackwell. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Everybody, right this way. I preach by principles. If you will check very carefully what I preached on 10 years ago, I'm preaching on the same thing today. If you will check very carefully what I preached against 10 years ago, get my tapes 10 years ago, and you'll find that I'm preaching, or 20 years ago, I'm preaching the same thing I preached then. Why? Because I preach by principles. I'm going to make several statements. I want you to listen carefully. Number one is, I never preach to attack our people. Never. Never. I never preach to try to hurt anybody. I have no agenda. I have no plan for your life. I preach by principles. And by the way, let me say this. Those principles will continue to be preached on, the same ones I've preached over and over again through the years. I never preach to attack anybody. Statement number two, I only preach to help. Statement number three, there may be a principle that I preach sometime with which you do not agree. Statement number next statement, if you do not take my advice, I love you just as much as if you did take my advice. I want that very plain. If I preach something that's a principle, and I'll preach it whether you like it or not, but if I preach it as a principle, and you do not follow that principle and go against my advice, I still love you just as much as I ever did. Next statement. I still want you in our church. If you are doing something that I think you should not be doing, listen, don't miss me. Don't miss it now. I still want you in our church. This is not a church of perfect people. It is a church with a perfect pastor. Those are all my employees that are saying amen. But this is not a perfect church. And I accept you as you accept me with our imperfections. Next statement. I will not mistreat you. Now listen carefully. Don't leave me. I will not mistreat you if you do not practice what I preach. If one of the principles that I preach from this pulpit is contradictory to your practice, or if you're contradictory to that principle, I will not mistreat you. When I see you, I will be as nice to you as if you were doing everything I preach, and as if we agreed 100%. Next statement, I will not be pleased if others mistreat you. Now let me stop and say this. There are people that do more wrong by mistreating folks that do wrong than the folks that do wrong. My Bible said that we're supposed to those that are weak in the faith, receive. My Bible says if somebody falls, we're supposed to love them and run to them and try to pick them back up. And I will not endorse mistreatment of anybody because somebody does not practice what I preach. Now you see, I preach hard. And by the way, let me make this statement. I, I never preach to criticize you, but I preach to criticize the thing that's going to destroy you or hurt you. Now, let me say it again. I'm going to make those statements again. I never preach to attack anybody. I only preach to help. There comes a time when a principle that is preached from this pulpit you may not agree with and may not even obey or practice what I preach. I still love you, if you accept my advice or not. I still want you in our church. I will not mistreat you or be unkind to you, and will not be in favor of anyone being unkind to you or mistreating you. Today, a young lady said to me, my mother won't come back to First Baptist Church anymore because some folks won't speak to her because of something she did in her life. Now, you folks that won't speak to anybody, that's not New Testament Christianity, you see. So I will not mistreat you if you don't practice what I preach. And I will certainly encourage our people to love you. Now, don't misunderstand me. I may advise somebody not to marry you. I may advise somebody not to have close friendship with you, a close social interaction with you. But I dead sure will love you, will want you in our church, and will want to help you, and I'll be proud to be your pastor. But, plainly let me say it, I preach by principles. My principles come from two sources. One, this book. If this book says it's wrong, then I preach what this book says. Number two, I choose my principles from 50 years of observation. Give an illustration. Brother Ray Young had back trouble. He also has wife trouble, but he had back trouble. What was it, a vertebra that was what? Smashed? He had a smashed or some vertebra. He goes to a doctor. The doctor's not the kind that would have his sign out. But it's sort of a health food, health kind of a doctor. He goes to his doctor. By the way, he goes to Mayo Clinic first, and I believe in Mayo Clinic. I think it's a wonderful place. If I ever go to the doctor, that's where I'm going to go, but I'm never going to go to the doctor. Doctors for women and backslidden men. But anyway, Ray Young goes to this doctor. And he has this vertebrae, and Mayo Clinic says surgery, right? Got to have surgery. This doctor says, I can help you. Now get this. This doctor says, I want you to get some chicken feet. Now, you know what chicken feet are like, just a bunch of little gristles. Now he said, I want you to make some chicken feet soup. Sounds good, doesn't it? Chicken feet soup. And every day, I want you to drink this chicken feet soup. And this dumb Ray Young every day drinks chicken feet soup. Do you know his back is healed? And just the other day, Ms. Howe said to me, she read somewhere, that now they got chicken feet soup in little pills. And Ray Young, chicken feet soup. I'd rather have a that back. But you know what I said? I said, I wish my people had as much confidence in my principles I preach as Brother Young has in a doctor he never met before but a few years ago. Now, it looks like to me that if you'll trust the doctor who knows more medicine than you do, and trust the lawyer who knows more law than you do, you'll trust the preacher that knows more Bible than you do. You're saying. Now, Brother Young didn't wake up in the morning and say, I'm hungry for chicken feet soup. But he trusted this doctor. He up until that time, he had never met the doctor, never seen the doctor. Here's a guy he did not know, a guy he had not seen before. And he trusts this guy when he says, drink some chicken feet soup. Personally, I'd rather have a Whopper with cheese. But now, wait a minute. Why, then, wouldn't you take advantage of 50 years of a man watching how people turn out? People say, you have a lot of wisdom. I don't have a lot of wisdom. I've got a lot of years. I sang in my class a while ago, they sang a duet, where we'll never grow old. I hated them. They're dedicated to me, I'm sure. But
But I'm saying that looks like to me, if a fellow for 50 years, let's get this now, the man that has observed more people growing up than any man in the history of the United States of America, the man who's pastored more people than any man in the history of our country, it looks like to me that you'd take his consideration rather than your own 18-year-old opinion. You see. Now, you say you think you're perfect. No, the doctor doesn't think he's perfect either, but he knows more about medicine than you do, and you'll be a lot closer to getting well if you trust the doctor than trust yourself. And you'll be a lot closer to winning a court case if you trust the lawyer instead of yourself. And you'll be a lot closer to having a successful, happy life if you'll trust the man of God when he says you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. Now listen carefully. I'm not through yet. I'm not to the worst part yet. By the way, I may preach till 10 past 12, but we'll still get out by 12:30. So don't get worried if it's 12:05 and I'm still on point one. I preach by principles, get this now, and I love you enough to preach those principles regardless of your response. Let me remind you, if I see it in the Bible, or if I've seen lives, the majority of which have turned out with heartaches and tragedy, and you agree with it or don't agree with it, it's coming across this pulpit, you see. And don't forget, I told you a while ago I loved you. I told you a while ago that if you do not agree with what I preach and do not agree with some principle, I still love you. I want you in the church. I'll treat you as a gentleman should treat you, and I'll respect you, and I'll encourage our people to treat you with the same kindness and courtesy. But if I see you doing something that I think you shouldn't be doing, I will scream and spit and stomp to warn you if I think that you or yours are in danger. I have been preaching these principles a long time before they applied to you. And here's something interesting. People will come to First Baptist because I let a rip. Boy, I like that old hard preacher. He's not scared of anybody until it applies to you. So what you like best about me is I let a rip to your neighbor. Now listen, you ought to thank God that I'm not scared of you either. You see? And you ought to thank God I'll let her rip to you. But let me remind you, I never let her rip because I'm mad at you. I let her rip because I'm mad at what you're about to do. And because I know what it'll do to you. And so I'm going to spit and stomp and scream and holler and kick over microphones and warn you when I see something you're going against in the Bible, or if I see you about to do something that has wrecked the lives of people that have done the same thing before. So the main reason you came here is because you liked the way I preached to other people. Now, sweetheart, and Oswald, I love you as much as the other people that were here when you came. And I don't want your life ruined any more than I want their life ruined. So I'll say this, listen carefully. Don't expect me, hear me now, don't expect me to quit preaching these principles because it's you. See, while your kids were little, I'd preach to our teenagers and you'd say, amen. Now your kids are teenagers and I'm preaching the same thing I preached before and you're saying, oh my. I will hear this statement carefully. And this is love. Genuine love. Hear this statement carefully. I will lose you before I won't warn you. And I said again, if I make you mad and you leave this church, if I knew you're going to leave, if I knew that this sermon this morning would cause you to leave this church, I'll still preach the sermon. And that's because I love you. Listen carefully to this statement. You must understand that there are many in the same circumstance as you. You think I'm letting you have it, and I'm letting a dozen people have it. But you're the only one like this, so you think you get mad maybe, and I don't know anybody that's done this, but I'm preaching preventive medicine this morning. You get mad and angry because you think I'm singling you out. Now, by the way, I love you enough to where I'd preach it if you're the only one I knew about. But I'll say this. I'm going to preach it because I love you. And if you say, okay, I'm going to go join another church, okay, I don't want you to join. I never am happy when people leave our church. I'll tell you what. I love you enough to chance it. I love you enough. I'm going to preach it like I see it from the Bible and in human experience. Whether you like it, don't like it, get mad, get happy, leave or stay. Next statement. This is introduction's tale. You should not be offended. Hear this statement. You should not be offended because you have a preacher that loves you enough to take a chance on losing you to try to help you. These little pussyfooters that won't warn you because they're afraid that you'll leave, they are your enemies. And they talk about the fact they have love, we don't have love. They're liars. Fakes, imposters, and facade. Instead of being offended, you ought to thank God. Get this. Even if you think I'm wrong, you ought to thank God I'm willing to lose you if I think I'm right. Even if we don't agree, you ought to say, bless God, I don't agree with that old man up there. That old man, he's got the guts to stand up there and tell me like it is, even because he's trying to help me. And God knows, God in heaven knows that that's the reason I preach why I do. I have no agenda. I have no desire for you just to please me. I have a desire for you to have the richest, happiest life you can have. And I've got a book that tells you how to do it. And 50 years of experience tells you how to do it. And it'd be a good thing if you'd consider what I say. Now let's get down and put the rubber on the ground. For example, sit still. You should not be offended when I tell you not to move because of money. Somebody here been to offer a raise in pay or a promotion if you move somewhere else. And what you'll do is you come to me and say, is there a good church there? That's dumb. I mean, you have no more right to leave because of money than, as I said in my class this morning, than I have a right to leave because of money. Now, look, if you take a promotion and go somewhere else, I love you, I'm not mad at you, but bless God, I'm going to be there when the moving band shows up and say, please don't do it. So don't be surprised if I'm there when the moving band shows up. Of course, I'll have to go several places at one time. But you listen carefully. I was preaching that a long time before you got your promotion. And I'm not going to quit preaching because it affects you. And not because I enjoy it. I don't enjoy it. This may shock you, but I'm a lovable man. This may shock you. I'm a gentleman, my wife will tell you. I'm a gentleman. I don't like confrontation. Roloff did. I don't. I used to tell Roloff, you want to be in the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I want to be in the Guinness Book of Records. But I'm saying that I don't like confrontation, but I love you enough to tell you that I see in the Bible where Abraham went to Egypt and it wrecked his life and wrecked his family, where Naomi and Elimelech went to Moab and it wrecked their life and wrecked their family, and Isaac went to Egypt and it wrecked his life and wrecked his family, and Lot went to Sodom because of the good farmland there, and it wrecked his life and wrecked his family. And if I can see 90% of our people who move because of raise in pay or promotion, I know how they turn out. I know how they are 10 years down the road. I'm going to wave my hand and say, ladies and gentlemen, don't do it. Obey God's will and not Sears and Roebuck's will. Nearly every week of my life, somebody across the country comes to hear me preach and says, I made a mistake. You say, you think everybody ought to be a member of First Baptist Hammond? Of course. No, I don't think that. I don't think you ought to come to Hammond because you get a raise in pay either. It is as unscriptural as drinking liquor for your company to decide where you live. His Spirit's supposed to decide where you live. So, I will not start it, preaching on it, when you follow the dollar, nor will I quit it when it's you. I love you too much. Hey, I've been here 39 years, nearly. I start my 40th year in just a few days. I love you. I married a couple just yesterday afternoon. I married their parents 25 years ago. And I'll marry their kids 25 years from now. But now, wait a minute. It so happens I love you. And I love you too much to let your anger or you being mad at me or you even you leaving our church to keep me. Listen, I am going to stand on the wall and warn you every time I think that you're making a mistake. And let me say it again. I will not start it because of you, but I will not stop it because it affects you either. I'll simply keep it up. Not only as an example of what I'm preaching, will I do that. Sit up straight now and listen to me. I have been preaching against the secular school system for years and years and years. And you liked it when your kid was in the nursery. You liked it when your kid was in the kindergarten. Well, you're going to put up with it when your kid's going to college. Now, you hear me carefully, and if the whole crowd gets up and walks out, if I knew you would, and gets up and walks out, or if I knew somebody get up and say, I make a motion for the house to be relieved of the pulpit, I'd say it if I thought this was the last statement I'd ever make in this pulpit. I do not believe in the heathen school system. It never was God's plan for the government to educate your child. Never was. Now, you say, you preaching to me? Let me ask you a question. When I preached it 18 years ago, was I preaching to you and your babies in the nursery? No, I'm not changing anything. Get my tapes. Get the tape on when we started at Hammond Baptist School System 28, 27, 28, 29 years ago. Get the tape. And I said I wouldn't send my hound dog to the public school. Now, you kids go to public school, and you have to go because your parents make you go. I love you with all my heart. But, brother, if there's a choice in this matter, you are a fool not to send your kids to a fundamentally independent Baptist Christian school. So I'll scream, stomp, holler, spit, wave my hand, kick over microphones. I'll tell you something. If you go to 4 years of college to a heathen school, you spend 2,560 hours sitting under teachers who most of them are ungodly and don't accept this book. And you parents taught your kids to run with the right crowd. You need to go to the psychiatrist or something. Either one or both. You said to your kids, don't you get in that crowd, and yet you send your kid to the crowd, or some of you kids are going to the crowd, which is a worse crowd than the kids that you wouldn't let them run with in our schools. 2,560. Hey, I know what I'm talking. 50 years ago, I went 1 year to a secular university, 50 years ago, and I was reared by a godly mother who taught me that book, and a fundamental pastor who loved me, and a church that cared for me, and Sunday school teachers that trained me and taught me. And yet 50 years ago, within nine months, my faith was shaken in that book, and there's not a kid in this room any stronger than I was 50 years ago, and you're not going to sit for 2,560 hours under heathen professors without being affected adversely. Well, you say, preacher, I don't like what you're saying. I don't ask you to like what I'm saying. I ask you, no, I'm screaming at you because I love you. We have a trend in our church I'm concerned about. Our teenagers are considering secular universities. Now, I'll fight it. Not because I'm trying to hurt the universities. I'm trying to help our kids. I'm not on a tirade against our kids. I'm on a tirade against the heathen schools that don't believe this book and will shake your faith in this book and will not preach the Word of God and not be for our old-time religion. I'm simply saying, What in the name of common sense is wrong when you'll say to your kids, stay in the right crowd, and then you'll pay their tuition to go somewhere in the wrong crowd for 4 years, 2,560 hours?
If you don't agree with me, you ought to thank God I got the guts to say it. In elementary school, your child would be spending 9,600 hours at the feet of teachers. By the way, to show you how much I love you, we have folks right here within a few feet of me that teach in the public school system. Now, they're not doing what I would recommend, but they're still my people, and I love them. But if all the public school teachers here, and we have several of them, got up, walked out of this church, as you walk out, I'll be preaching against the public school system. In junior high, 2,400 hours. In high school, 4,800 hours. Would somebody explain Jeremiah 10:2 to me? Learn not the way of the heathen. Would somebody explain that to me? Would somebody explain to me 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil? Would somebody explain the first Psalm to me, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners? Would you explain that to me? Or do you care? I said, do you care? Do you care what the Bible says? The truth is, there are idolaters all over this building. They're their own idols, in their own mind, they've decided what they think in spite of what God thinks, and if anything is in this Bible, it is separation from the heathen world. It's all through the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. I have seen so much. I could stand here for 24 hours. A lot of you are going to crucify your children on the fact that preachers are not going to tell me what to do. And yet your teenager did that and you got mad at him. You got a teenage mentality. Folks, look. Put your pens down. Son, put your pen down. I'm preaching to you. I've told you that 4 or 5 times. I want you to hear me. It's not a classroom lecture. It's a sermon. Now listen to me. If you were driving down the highway and a guy in an undershirt and a pair of work pants held up a sign and said, bridge out down the road, you wouldn't go down the road. You got more confidence in a fellow you've never seen and don't know than you do the man's been there 39 years trying to help you. Somebody says, okay, I won't go to the heathen school. I'll go to a school that doesn't require me to go to church. It's called itself Christian school. A so-called Christian school that won't require you to go to church is not worth going to. He's with a going to make some people mad. I don't want to. I don't like it. I don't enjoy making folks mad, but I'm willing to if I can help you. And if I can't help you, at least I can warn you and stand before God and say I told them what was true. Paul said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Again, I say, even if you don't abide by what's preached in this pulpit or what's written in this book, and if you'll abide what's written in this book, you'll take the advice I've given you already. You don't have to take my advice. Take God's advice. But you're not any more concerned about taking his advice than mine. Because you don't want God to run your life any more than you want Brother House to run your life. Sit still. You need Brother House. The Christian Independent Baptist Christian schools don't offer what I feel like I need. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. Now listen carefully to me. You are dead sure that the God of heaven that made you wants you to be a doctor.
And we have good Christian doctors here, and I'm not against them at all. Listen carefully. Let me tell you what you ought to do. Number one, you ought to go a year to Howells Anderson College. 1 year to Bible college. And get your foundation. Number two, go to some medical school close enough by here, just like the Streeter fellows did. When I was pastor of those guys, and they were young men going to medical school. Or just like Cindy Lale did to college, go to some college that's nearby here, take medical training, and get you a bus route in First Baptist Church of Hammond, and teach you a Sunday school class in First Baptist Church of Hammond, and you never miss a Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night after you've gone a year to Bible college. So, if you go to the secular university, I'll be in the registration line with you. Don't be surprised. See me at the front door. Saying, bad, 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 bad. No, 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 no. You say, that would embarrass me. But it may be that you're going there is embarrassing me. Let me go back and remind you what I said a while ago. I preach by principles. I never preach to attack our people. I only preach to help. There may be a principle with which you do not agree, and if you do not take my advice, I'll love you as much as I did. I still want you in our church. I will not mistreat you, and I will not be pleased if anybody mistreats you. But I preach by principles from two sources, the Bible and 50 years of observation. I love you enough to preach these principles, and I will scream and stomp and spit to warn you if I think you or yours is in danger. And by the way, I can tell you a half a dozen of our young men right now that have athletic scholarships, and nobody is right with God who goes to a school because he or she gets an athletic scholarship. Let me say it again. Nobody. Well, you say, Brother House, I've been here for the last time. Well, while you're going out the door, I'll be preaching the truth to you. Show me in the Bible where anybody's supposed to go to school to shoot a basketball or throw a football or kick a football or throw a baseball. That's as pagan as whoremongering is. So I said, I've been preaching these principles a long time before I met you. And we'll be preaching a long time after you're a Presbyterian. When you walked in the door, I was preaching them. While you're inside, I preach them. And while you walk out the door, I'll be preaching them. Because I love you. I said again, you liked it when you came. Boy, let them have it. Now, why don't you say right now, let me have it. And don't expect me to quit preaching these principles because it's you. I love you too much. I will lose you before I will warn you. You must understand there are many in the same circumstance you're in, and young people, our teenagers, listen to me. You know Brother Howes loves you. And you know Brother Howes has no vendetta or no agenda concerning your life. Brother Howes has seen 90% or 95% of every one of our kids that ever went away to a state university or a secular university wreck their lives. You must understand there are many in the same circumstance, and you should not be offended. Even if you don't accept what I say, you ought to thank God I got the courage to say it. And you ought to thank God somebody loves you enough, even if he's wrong, to tell you what he thinks is right. I'm simply saying, if a doctor can say to Ray Young, get some chicken feet. You know, after he told me that, I went and bought some chicken feet. Ain't nothing worse looking than chicken feet. You got prettier feet than chicken feet. Yours more like turkey's feet. And I'm not God, but this book is a letter from God. What are you going to do with, come ye out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean? What are you going to do with that? Huh? What are you going to do if you're not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? If you're one Christian in a class of 50 heathen, you're yoked together with a bunch of unbelievers. You see? Two things. Number one is, there ought to be a lot of young people this morning change their plans. Number two, there ought to be a lot of parents thank God for your preacher and tell your young people, I've never pastored, I've never watched thousands of young people and how they turned out, but the preacher has. I think they love him as much as Brother Young loves that doctor that told him to drink some chicken feet soup. The principles that have been preached from this pulpit for 39 years, nearly, as long as I'm behind this pulpit, or I don't stay behind it very much, as long as I'm on this platform, they'll still be preached. I preach them when you came. I preach them while you've been here. I'll preach them when you leave, or I'll preach them if you leave. There are people in this room, there are ladies in this room this morning that wear pants in public. And I'm totally against it. Totally. I just sent a man to wear a skirt. But you're still my members, and I still love you. And I think you ought to heed what I'm preaching, but if you don't, if all of you are perfect, you wouldn't need me. So don't everybody do what I say. Now this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, we pretty well have neglected you. Every once in a while, we have to have a little family meeting. Go out behind the woodshed every once in a while. But I want to tell you this. If I were an unsaved person, if I were not a Christian, you know what I'd say? I'd say, boy, I admire that fella. That's the kind of preaching I'd like my child to hear. I'm going to believe what he says about the gospel. I'm going to trust Jesus as my Savior. I'm going to get an old-fashioned, independent Baptist soul-winning church as a man of God to preach what he believes because he loves the people. Paul said, you've not hurt me. So he said, for two or three verses before he said, I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. He said, I'm not offended. I'm not mad at you. Listen to me, young people. I'm not mad at you, but listen to me, girls. Put your head straight. Paul said, I'm going to tell you the truth. I love you, and I'm going to tell you the truth because I love you. But he said, I don't understand it. Why, if I tell you what I think is for your good, why would you be upset with me? Now again, I know of no one that is in this church. But if all of you get upset, it's still going to be dished out as it has been all these years. If you're here today, you're not a Christian. You'll walk down his aisle and say, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want something that's real. I want something that's positive. I want absolutes. I'm tired of people not having absolutes. I want some convictions. I want some standards. I want something that's real. I'd walk down this aisle this morning and say, I'm going to receive Christ. If you belong to some kind of a liberal church, you ought to walk down this aisle and say, I'm sick and tired of a preacher that doesn't love me enough take a chance to lose me, to tell me what he thinks is best for me. Shall we stand, please? The choir will sing, and as the choir sings, walk down the aisle, say yes to Christ, or yes to the membership of an old-fashioned church. Come and be baptized if you're saved and not baptized. Come down the aisle quickly as the choir sings.